the excitement in the house today.
Hallelujah.
He's alive. Hallelujah. He's not in the grave. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. Chapter 19. Everybody say amen when you get there.
Amen. Amen.
I hear pages ruffling. Okay, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We're going to start in John 19:17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, and one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And skip down to 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and a disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things which were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now skip over to chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene that came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. God, we thank you for your word, Father. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done at Calvary, all that you've done at Golgotha. Everything was accomplished. All the scriptures were fulfilled like Jesus said. And Jesus, we just thank you for suffering, for dying on that cross, for each and every one of us. But we thank you, Jesus, that you did not stay dead. You did not stay in that tomb. But hallelujah, you rose that third day. Hallelujah. And we give you glory. We give you honor in this place today, Lord God. We're excited, God. God, it's all about you, Father. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Have your way. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. God, open our hearts. Open our minds, Father, to receive what you have for us, Father. And God, those that couldn't be here for one reason or another, Father, God, we ask you to touch them where they're at, Lord God. Minister to them, Lord God. Quicken their spirit, Lord God. And God, we give you all praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The title of the message is The Other Side of the Cross. The other side of the cross. We're on the other side of the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today we are celebrating. How many are celebrating?
Amen.
Woo!
I know there's some celebrating Easter Bunny. Come on. Celebrating eggs, whatever. We celebrate a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be still. Hallelujah. You going to let some stone cry out for you? You going to let some stone take your place because you don't give him glory? Come on.
Hallelujah.
Get excited. Okay. So we see in John 19:30 that Jesus' earthly work is indeed finished. But he's in the glorious work business. Come on. He's ruling, reigning, and interceding for everyone. He's interceding. It's God's will that none perish. Hallelujah. And Jesus is up there interceding for them and interceding for us. Come on. We need help too. Hallelujah. How many ever heard of a man by the name of Harry Houdini? Yeah, you heard about Harry Houdini? He died in October 1926. He was only 52 years old. But he has claimed to fame. You know, you talk about escape artists and all that, and people say, Harry Houdini, right? And they said that he just laughed at locks. He sneered at fetters. They say he had the flexibility of an eel. He had lives of a cat. They've done all kinds of things to try to incarcerate him, to keep him bound, and he always escaped. They'd seal him in coffins. They would rivet him into boilers. He would escape. They sewed him up in canvas bags. He would escape. They locked him in a milk can. He escaped. They sealed him in a beer barrel, and he escaped. They put him in a maximum security prison. He escaped. One of his feats was they would tie him up, hang him upside down in water, seal him in this glass case, whatever, and he would escape. But on October 26th, Old Man Death laid his hands on Harry Houdini and put him in the grave, and he's yet to escape. But he told his wife, if there is any way out, if there is any way out, I'll find it. And he says, I'll make contact with you and we'll do it on the anniversary of my death. So for 10 years, she kept a light burning over his portrait. At the end of 10 years, she turned out the light. Death had Harry, and he couldn't escape. But death laid his hands on the Lord Jesus Christ, too. And death put Jesus in this rock-hewn tomb. And they put a stone over the mouth of this, and they put the official seal on it. But I want you to know one thing. Death couldn't hold the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. On the third day, come on, somebody get excited about the third day. On the third day, it's like, that's right. He shook himself. Enough of this. Time to get up. I got things to do. How many ever been like that? Get up in the morning. I have a lot of things to do. I got places to go, people seeing things to do. I believe that's what Jesus said. Hey, death! I don't have time for this. The alarm went off. I'm out of here. Hallelujah. The third day. And so they had him wrapped up in grave clothes, but he was like a butterfly coming out of the cocoon. He slipped out of that thing, hallelujah, and he passed through the rock. Passed right through the rocks. Rocks couldn't hold him, hallelujah. But what we want to look at, we want to look at it from the angle of the woman Mary Magdalene. We could preach this message 100 different ways. So many different ways you could preach an Easter message. Or I like to call it Resurrection Sunday message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we want to look at it from the focus point on Mary Magdalene. The story of Mary Magdalene is only found in the Gospel of John. Amazing. John, the apostle of love. And so here's this woman. Now at that time, you know, in the first century, women were not even eligible to testify in a Jewish court. Josephus, how many have ever read anything about Josephus? You know who Josephus is? Well, he was a historian, not necessarily a Christian historian. He was just a historian. He wrote several series of books. One of them was The Antiquity of the Jews. And there was a couple other things. But he was one of the historians. There was like two or three. But anyways, Josephus said that even the witness of multiple women were not acceptable. And here's what he put. Because of the levity and boldness of their sex. But Christ bestowed an honor on Mary Magdalene. Why? Because she loved him so deeply. How many here love Jesus Christ so deeply? Hallelujah. In Luke 7, 46 and 48, there's a story about the woman that came to Jesus and she anointed his feet with this precious ointment. We know it as the alabaster box. And she anointed him. And people couldn't understand why she would pour out this precious, precious ointment on Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." How many has been forgiven? A lot. Amen. See, if you've only been forgiven a little, you don't understand this extravagant love. But when you've been forgiven everything, by the one who loved us so much and poured that love into us to fill us with his love, to pour out that love wherever we go, because to whom has been forgiven much, loves much. I think Mary must have told John personally this story about going to the tomb. So everything about this little slice of life, true to human nature as we know it. Here's this weeping woman, and she lingers by the empty tomb, wondering what's happened to the body of the one she loved. When Jesus suddenly appears, she don't even recognize him. And then she grips his feet so tightly that he has to tell her to let go. So this vigil that she was on ends with the mourner, Mary the mourner, turned into missionary. Hallelujah. I believe that's what we're to be. Hallelujah. We're to be missionaries, just like Mary. And so we see Mary running to tell others. How many run to tell others about Jesus? How many is excited to tell people about Jesus? Are you bubbling over with the love to tell others about Jesus? Come on. So she runs and tells the others what she'd just seen and just heard. So, although Mary Magdalene plays such an important part here, we really don't know a lot about her. There were several different Marys in the scripture. There's at least five and maybe more different Marys. We know she came from the village of Magdala on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. She was one of a group of women that was followers of Christ during his earthly ministry. And she and the other women joined themselves with John and the apostles, and they supported them with financial offerings every way that they could, maybe cook for them, whatever. We're also told that Jesus cast seven demons, or as King James puts it, seven devils, out of Mary in Luke chapter 8. But I see, it says seven, but I see the number seven, maybe seven, but I see the number seven is identified with something being finished or complete. She was set free. Now, unless you've been there, unless you've walked in the shoes, you don't understand what that means. But before she met Jesus, we call that BC, before Christ. We've all been there. Whether you want to admit it or not, we was all there. Hallelujah. But before she met Jesus, she was totally and completely enslaved by demonic powers. We don't know how she got into that condition. The Bible doesn't say. And wouldn't do any good to speculate. We can look at several ways. She may have inherited some of those demons. Come on. She may have opened some doors that invited that stuff in. Or maybe through no fault of her own, like some tragic event that left her weak and vulnerable. But one thing we do know, if one demon's bad, seven's a whole lot worse. Probably the condition was known to other people. She probably manifested these actions. You know, a lot of times we see stuff and we don't recognize it. One of the things you might see, you may know somebody very well, and boy, something touches them off. We might say, road rage, where'd that come from? Well, maybe they had a demon. Maybe they just need to get free of that thing. Come on. Hallelujah. Or how about the stuff you don't see that's bad? How about unforgiveness? All bottled up inside. How about bitterness? How about jealousy, envy, strife? And the list could go on and on. Some people think she was the woman caught in adultery. But we don't know. Others suggest she was that woman that anointed Jesus' feet. Don't know. Some tradition says that she was a promiscuous woman. Don't know. But in church history, she became a symbol for repentant sinners who came to Christ from very checkered backgrounds. We all come from different backgrounds. So she represents us. And Jesus set her free. And she loved him so much. It was like, maybe somebody asked her, why do you love him so much? Why wouldn't I? He gave me my life. One thing we know, when Jesus Christ set her free from all these manifestations, all these evil impulses, that kept her chained, whether figuratively or literally, come on, she was free. She's living proof that those whom the Son sets free is free indeed. How many remember Winston Churchill? Well, Winston Churchill chose to believe. In fact, he arranged his own funeral. There were all these stately hymns in St. Paul's Cathedral, and this very impressive liturgy. And when they said the benediction, he had arranged for a bugler high in the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral on one side to play taps. The universal sign for the day is over. But when that was finished, come on, when that was finished, there was a long pause. And then a bugler on the other side played reveille. Come on, the signal of a new day beginning. It was Churchill's way of communicating that while we say goodnight here, it's good morning up there. How many like that played at your funeral? Come on. I thought that was pretty good. Glory to God. The resurrection is an invitation to receive what Christ has prepared for you. His offer of eternal life is like a gift that must be received. What we've done. What have you done with your invitation? The resurrection's this open invitation. Whosoever will may come. And it just goes out and out and out. See, when Mary Magdalene was liberated from the demonic bondage, It's like she may have said it out loud or she may have just said it to herself. I love him for what he did for me. I'll follow him wherever he goes. And so it was that when our Lord hung on the cross, when he was hanging on the cross, Mary Magdalene stood nearby with Mary, his mother. When they took his body down from the cross, she was there. She saw that gory, mangled sight, but she was there. When they placed him in the tomb, she was sitting there, maybe on a rock ledge, sitting there, watching them place him in the tomb. But after the Sabbath had concluded, she went and she purchased all these spices, expensive spices, because she hoped to anoint his dead body. He was buried hastily because they wanted to bury him before sundown, so they didn't prepare the body. So early Sunday morning, before the sun come up, Mary Magdalene and other women went down in the darkness to the garden tomb, expecting to finish the job of anointing the body of Jesus. If Mary had gotten her wish, if Mary had been able to anoint the body of Jesus, if she had found the body of Jesus still in the tomb, we would be the ones weeping today. We would have nothing to celebrate because Easter or resurrection would not exist. But glory to God, when she went to the tomb, hallelujah, he's gone. He's not here. The tomb's empty. Hallelujah. So when we go back and we piece all the parts together, all the pieces of the puzzle together, we find that sometime in the pre-dawn hours, Jesus shook himself. Come on. He rose, passed through that rock, and he's on the outside, looking in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We know sometime in this scenario, there was an earthquake. The seal on the tomb was broken. Come on. The stone was rolled away by angels. But it wasn't to let Jesus out. He wasn't there. The angels didn't let Jesus. He didn't need the angels to help him. The stone was rolled away so that others could see he's not there. He arose. Hallelujah. Just like he set Mary Magdalene free. Hallelujah. He was free. Amen. Same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, hallelujah, he is living in you. And no power in hell has any dominion over you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We know that the soldiers were knocked unconscious. Come on. When they woke up, they was out of there. They was afraid. So they fled the scene. Hallelujah. And when the woman found the tomb empty, they was confused and they was terrified. Even though Jesus had said, here's what's going to happen. Sometimes we have problems getting stuff through our thick skull, right? We're so convinced in the natural that we're not hearing in the spiritual. Hallelujah. So the angels told the women, hey, he's not here. He's risen. And so when the women run to tell the disciples, they didn't believe it either. No, you got to be kidding. We saw him die. We saw the condition he was in. We saw them bury him. We saw the stone roll there. We saw the guards around there. And you're telling us that he's not there? And so we know the story about two of them that run. Interesting. Very interesting story about the two disciples that run to the tomb. Now, Peter was always the one out front. Right?
Yeah.
Not this time. John outrunning. Some Bible scholars believe John was the oldest disciple. And John outrun Peter. Why? Because he loved him. It was that love in him, driving him to see. But when they came to the tomb and they finally looked in the tomb, there was the linens that they had wrapped him in. Same way. But off to the side. Off to the side was folded this napkin that they had put over his face. It was folded up and laid there. Glory to God. And so, Mary Magdalene, here she is. She's confused, bewildered, in shock, frightened, brokenhearted. And she just can't believe that he's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. It's often been said that Mary Magdalene was the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. Mary. You know, that's a high honor. None of the disciples, none of the men that was with Jesus could say that about them. She was the first to see him alive. She was the first to hear his voice. Come on. But the irony was, when she saw him, she didn't recognize him. Didn't understand who he was. So there's two main reasons we can see why Jesus deliberately veiled his own identity, just like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know who he was. But we can see that maybe Jesus didn't want her to recognize him. Maybe Jesus didn't want the disciples to recognize him. Because of a lesson. And the lesson is that she had to learn that he's always present. Even when she couldn't see him. And it's the same with us. We need to understand that he's always with us. You know, many times when we're going through a dark valley, how many has been in the valley? And it seems like we're all alone. But Jesus is always with us. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." How many are in that place where you can say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil"? Because you're here. You're with me. No matter what we're going through, no matter where we are, He's right there with us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If our only our eyes could be open, if our spiritual eyes could be open when we're in the valley, we would see that He's right there. Right there encouraging us, right there holding our hands. Yeah? And even sometimes when you wear out, when you're weary and you want to give up, He'll carry you. He'll carry you through that valley and bring you out on the other side. See, we'd like to go around that. We don't want to go through the valley, but He didn't say that we wouldn't go through. He just said He'll be there with us. Glory to God. The answer to our deepest needs is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to begin to close. I hope you caught that. I'm going to begin to close with the question Jesus asked Mary. Only I'd like to ask to each person here, why are you weeping? The time for tears is over. The time to tell the good news, come on, it's come. Weeping's over. It's time for the good news. Hallelujah. The good news of Jesus Christ. He's risen. Absolutely. Tell people today, He's risen. He's risen. And because He lives, like the song says, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. No matter what comes our way, we can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. God is so good. So good. And Jesus is calling. Calling people all over to receive Him. Every person He's calling. And He's saying, will you be made alive to spend eternity with Me, with the risen Savior? Or will you reject the offer and experience what the Bible calls the second death? Or hell. What a message. What a message that Jesus is asking people today. Nobody knows where anybody else is at with the Lord. Sometimes we can put on a good show, but nobody knows. But if you sense that Jesus is calling you to come to Him, if you truly want to know Him, I invite you to just say a little prayer. And we'll all say it together. I'll just say it and you guys can repeat, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess that apart from Your grace, I will never go to heaven. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. Thank you for taking my punishment. And dying in my place. I believe you rose from the dead. On the third day. With all my heart. I trust you as my Savior and Lord. Come into my heart. And save me now. I gladly receive your gift of salvation. Amen. We're going to take communion today. George, would you pass out the elements? And as George is handing out the bread and the cup, just want to just touch on the Passover. The Passover was part of the Old Testament law. And so it fulfilled a purpose for those that lived under the Old Testament. And it prefigured or shadowed the Lord's Supper. In Hebrews 10:1, Paul writes to the Hebrews, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things." So the Passover was divinely ordained by God for the nation of Israel. In Exodus 12:14, it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." But we also see the Lord's Supper, or communion as we would call it, was divinely ordained by Christ for Christians during the Christian age. And we can see this by statements that Jesus made during the institution of the Lord's Supper. In Luke 22:19, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." So Passover commemorates the miracle of God supernaturally delivering the Jewish people from Egypt. And this was a foreshadow of the greatest rescue in history when we were delivered from the clutches of the devil and transformed to the kingdom of God through the blood of the Passover Lamb, Jesus. Hallelujah. At Passover, they were not allowed to eat bread with leaven, which represents sin. In our current generation, the concept of sin is being watered down. Repentance, holiness, and purity are seldom mentioned, but God's word has not changed. God still says to examine ourselves. As we prepare to take communion, God says, examine ourselves and see if there be any leaven, anything in there that displeases God. And as we take communion, I want to just talk about one of the things about the blood of Jesus. Paul tells the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and you will be saved, you and your household." The pattern holds true today. If one member of a family is saved, if one member of the family is saved, they can believe based on that scripture for their entire house. How many have people in your household that needs the Lord Jesus Christ, that needs to be saved? As we take communion, I encourage you to believe God. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Why not today? For them to get saved. Why not today? Today's the day of salvation.
I'm going to read a little